Well, good morning to you. And those of you that work in Awana and Children's Sunday School, you should know that your labor is not in vain. And so often when I meet with these kids and we talk through the gospel and we talk through their testimonies before their baptism, many of them are saying, I learned about Jesus in Awanas. I learned about Jesus in Sunday school. I hear about Jesus at home. And those things are a joy to hear. And so you should know that in our time together, when we are spending time with kids in Awanas on Wednesday nights, that we are investing in them the gospel, and we can see that it is bearing fruit to the glory of God. Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3 this morning. This will be the final sermon on this short but relevant book, not only relevant to our lives, but relevant to where we find ourselves in our present day and culture. Habakkuk, if you remember, is a book that is about this thing called living by faith. Living by faith. And by faith means not by what we see, not by what we know, not by what we understand. Because instead, what we're trusting is we're trusting in the wisdom and the knowledge of God, not our own. That's what it means to live by faith. Sometimes it means letting go of control of our lives because we want to trust the God who is in control of all things. Sometimes it means we have to hold our plans and our expectations of what we want loosely in our lives because we want to trust God's plan more than we trust our own plan. And so you ought to understand, though, that this is not natural to us, is it? This is not something we just naturally we live for ourselves. Naturally, we trust our own wisdom. Naturally, we think our plan for our lives is what is best for us, right? But books like Habakkuk are meant to reorient our perspective to something better than our plans for our life. And that is trusting the purpose and the plan of God for us and to know that His plan, His purpose is what is best for us. And faith is what the Bible is calling us to from beginning to end, isn't it? Because the Bible is God meeting us where we are. The Bible is God revealing Himself to us. It is the unfolding of the gospel story of redemption through Jesus. Why? Why is this story revealed to us? Well, as the Gospel of John tells us, so that we may believe, so that we may have faith, we may live by faith. And so the most important question as we come to the Bible today is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? It's the question that God is asking to Habakkuk. You may remember it's the question that Jesus asked to the disciples when they're on the boat on that night together, when they're in the midst of the storm, and there they found themselves in that storm, and they were afraid. And Jesus says, where is your faith? Right? Is it in your ability to navigate and to handle the circumstances of your life by your own ability and your own resources, by your own means? Is that what you're trusting in? Or are you trusting in the Lord right where you are in these circumstances and His plan for you? It's a question God is still asking us today, I believe. You know, there's a young lady by the name of Sarah Claudia who knows probably far more about what it means to walk by faith than I ever will. It was just before her 21st birthday, which was only about 5 or 6 years ago now. She's not that old of a person. She's still a young lady. But just before her 21st birthday, she went in for a routine tonsillectomy. And after the surgery, they sent her home to go home and to rest at home. And the next morning, her parents found her unresponsive. And they rushed her back to the hospital. They saved her life. She was in serious distress. They saved her life, but they could not save her sight, her eyesight. She would be blind for the rest of her life, they told her. So she had to immediately, as a young lady, learn what it meant to depend upon others for almost everything in her life. But this is what is amazing. This is what she writes as she recounts her story. She says, through it all, I continued to pray. I prayed for healing, for guidance, for comfort, for strength to make it through these difficult moments. But despite facing the disappointment of not being healed physically, I was healed spiritually as I learned to rely on God through every struggle and hardship that I faced. And He got me through every fall, every sleepless night, and every tear that I shed, and He continues to do so today. So my biggest takeaway in those early days is I learned to surrender. I learned to trust the Lord, and He taught me to start moving forward. So her key verse in life is 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And she understands what that means, doesn't she? So when I read Sarah's story, and I'm amazed by her story, when I read her story, sometimes I wonder, is it we who can see perfectly well? Is it we who have the real disability here? Because how hard it is for us to live by faith and not by sight. Instead, our faith seems to be most clear when we can't see beyond our circumstances. Martin Luther King Jr. used to say, faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. Isn't that true? Faith means stepping out. God doesn't show us the whole path, or the whole way, the whole staircase, but it means sometimes taking the step of faith and trusting God, that God has a plan. That's the journey of Habakkuk. The journey to trust the Lord when you can't see beyond His circumstances. So let's read Habakkuk's conclusion here in Habakkuk chapter 3. We'll start in verse 16 through 19. If you'd stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Habakkuk chapter 3, starting in verse 16. He says, I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who invade us. And though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, nor produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, and the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength, and He makes my feet like the deer's, and He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for His help this morning. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention now to what is Your word to us, we hear great words of faith from a man of faith. We want these words to be our words today. We want to be able to say, even if, even through the difficult days and seasons of our lives, that we too trust You today. But this is not something that naturally we can conjure up. This is something that You, by the Holy Spirit, must come and breathe into our lives. And so, Lord, I pray, would You breathe that kind of faith into Your people today, that we may be a people who live by faith and not by sight today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, maybe this will surprise you, but I'm not a huge fan of Christian movies. Now, don't get me wrong. I like a good, feel-good Christian movie. I've seen a number of them. And so I'm not opposed to them. I enjoy them. They're entertaining. They're encouraging. They're clean, which you can't say about most movies that are coming out of Hollywood these days, right? But I just have really just one big critique of them, of most of them at least, and that is, everything always works out in the end, right? You notice that when you watch these movies? In the end, the atheist is converted. In the end, the marriage is saved and they live happily ever after. In the end, broken families are mended. Money comes for the bills. Prayers are answered and the sick are healed. There's always a happily ever after at the end of the story. Now, I was thinking about this past week. We were, as a family, we've been listening to an audio drama by some couple of hundred years ago. It was written. It's called The Hidden Hand. And It's an entertaining story, but in the end, I mean, everything works out perfectly in the end so that evil is exposed, the wicked are punished, the good triumphed, and so even the guy, the castle, the huge wealthy inheritance, it all goes to the girl who trusted in the Lord in her life. Everyone gets married in the end and lives happily ever after, right? And that just makes for a good story, doesn't it? I mean, that's what we want to hear. That's just a good story. Every good story ends with a happy ending like that. And so my problem is not that we tell each other these stories. The problem is that sometimes we believe them to be a reflection of real life in a broken world when it's just not always the case. Sometimes in this life, the story doesn't end with a happily ever after, does it? Where Sarah's sight is never restored. And she has to wake up every day and struggle to get dressed and just to comb her hair and to be able to do the basic things of life. Where Johnny Erickson Tata still is in a wheelchair. Where children get cancer and die. Where crops sometimes are wiped out in a storm. Where families fall apart and children suffer as a result. Where prayers are not answered as we expect. But you see, Habakkuk is not one of those feel-good stories like that. Yes, there is a resolution here, and we want to see that there is a resolution, but maybe it's not the resolution that we expect. If Habakkuk were made for a Christian movie today, then probably what would happen would be maybe Habakkuk and his family, they would escape the coming Babylonians before they show up. Kind of like the Von Trapp family in Sound of Music. Yeah, they get out of Austria before the Nazis take over, right? Or maybe they're given immunity from the suffering and the destruction that's going to come because they're the faithful after all. Or some great ending where it just works out wonderfully for Habakkuk since he's obviously the good guy here. But this is not a feel-good story like that. This is speaking about real life in the real world. And what it means to live by faith when it's not a happily ever after ending on those hardest, darkest days of life. And so these are the conditions that Habakkuk speaks of here. You know, we've said throughout Habakkuk that what Habakkuk was facing was the judgment of God. And not so much judgment for his particular sin, but judgment for the sin and the idolatry of the nation of which he is a part, the nation of Judah. And so these were the people of God, but the people of God had turned from God, and so God was sending judgment through another king, through another nation, the terrible pagan nation of Babylon. And just as God said, they would come and they would destroy, they would carry people into captivity, they would kill without mercy, and they would capture the nation of Judah in 586 BC. We know this in history. It was a terrible time, awful time, and Habakkuk is not ignorant of what this is going to mean in terms of suffering. That's why he says, and look at what he says in verse 16, he says, that just to think of it, his body begins to tremble, his lips begin to quiver, his bones feel weak, his legs begin to tremble beneath him. Why? Because he is thinking of the suffering that is to come for him. You see, walking by faith doesn't always remove the suffering from our lives. Sometimes we have to walk through suffering. And faith does not mean that we no longer feel the pain. Jesus would understand that full well, wouldn't he? And so Jesus in the garden, he too is prepared to walk by faith in the plan of his Father. The plan of his Father is to go to the cross, right? The pain and the suffering of the cross is immediately before him. And yet the Bible tells us that he struggled mightily in the garden. He trembled. He wept. But the Bible also tells us that it was for the joy set before him that he endured the cross. The joy of obedience and faithfulness, knowing the will of God. The joy of trusting his heavenly Father in that moment. And you hear Habakkuk here share in that same kind of peace and joy too, because this is the journey of faith. The journey of faith in Habakkuk has brought him to this, the place of peace rather than fear, the place of worship rather than complaint. And this is a great statement of Habakkuk's faith, isn't it? To me, there's three great statements of faith in the Bible that are recorded for us that summarize a deep and abiding faith in God. And all three of these statements are statements that people who have been trained, who are facing or enduring and going through suffering presently in their life, the trials of life. The first is made by Job. You remember Job? In the tragic wake of the loss of everything in his life. So he lost his wealth, he lost his possessions, he lost all of his children. And in the midst of all of that, you remember what he says? The Lord has given and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we say, what? Right? I mean, when somebody takes away what I love, it is not blessing that I want to give them, it is cursing, isn't it? But Job is a man of faith, and he trusts the Lord in this moment. The second I think of is made by Jesus in the garden, praying alone in the garden. And there he knows the Father's plan for him is for his torture, his murder on the horrible cross. It is for his suffering. And there is no escaping the reality of the pain and the tremendous suffering that's going to mean for him. And yet in that moment, despite the fact that we would not willingly choose this for our life, in that moment, he trusts God. And what does he say? But not what I will, but what you will, O Lord. It's a statement of trust in that hardest day of his life. And we could probably come up with many other statements of great statements of faith in the Bible. But when I think of just amazing, astounding statements of faith on the lips of those who are living out what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, with an unqualified trust in the Lord, I think of those two statements, and I think of Habakkuk here. Habakkuk, who says, though the fig tree should not blossom, though no fruit be on the vines, though produce of the olive would fail, though the fields would yield no food, though the flock would be cut off from the fold, though there be no herd in the stall, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and take joy in the God of my salvation. Now, those things may not sound all that significant to us. I mean, it's just no big loss whenever the apple tree and the peach tree in my yard don't produce because we get a late freeze. It's not that big of a deal. It may be a bigger deal. It might be a bigger deal if we lose a corn crop around here. It'd be a huge deal if all the pigs and the cows died around here. It'd be pretty terrible, wouldn't it? But at the end of the day, there's always still Walmart. Right? I mean, there's always still the grocery store. But you have to understand, right, the context of an agrarian ancient society where you grew what you ate, right? And so what he's speaking of here is there is nothing to eat, no provision for himself, for his family, for anyone. He's speaking of destitution. He's speaking of desperation. He's speaking of suffering. In fact, that is what it would be for them. We know, in fact, in history that the Babylonian army would sweep in and they would destroy the crops, they would destroy the fields in order to force them into submission, in order to force them to surrender because they would be starving and they would be desperate. In fact, we have stories from that day and age that some of those people were so desperate that some of them ate their own children to survive or to try to survive. And that's desperation, isn't it? And so this is what he's talking about here. So the conditions that Habakkuk speaks of here are a ruinous and a devastating circumstances. These are the circumstances of suffering. Nothing he would choose for his life, nothing he would look forward to, things he would tremble to think of. But Habakkuk here teaches us what it means to walk by faith. It does not mean that you will not suffer, but it means learning to trust God in the midst of what you endure. And the fruit of that trust, this is what we said last week, the fruit of that trust is meant to be our peace and our joy in the midst of our circumstances. And this kind of faith is shocking to the world, isn't it? You know, there's just a lot of tough, gritty, old panhandle people around here, and I love meeting those kind of people around here. Those kind of people that just grit their teeth and they say, I don't need help, and I'm just going to do this, and they bear hard things. And I think that's just probably the legacy of you know, a generation of people who are, have descended from a generation of people who grew up in the midst of a dust bowl. And that's how they survived a dust bowl 100 years ago, right? Doing exactly that. But you have to understand here that what Habakkuk is talking about is not just grit your teeth and bear it. That's not faith. At least that's not faith in God, maybe faith in yourself. But faith in God, Habakkuk shows us, is when we trust our Heavenly Father, even in the worst of times, so that we can rejoice in the Lord, so that we can take joy in the God of our salvation. I mean, those are the words of Habakkuk here, aren't they? And these words are words that remind me of those words that, well, they shock me a little bit, and sometimes they even trouble me a little bit at the beginning of the book of James. Remember the book of James? It begins, he says, "Count it all joy, brothers and sisters, count it all joy when we endure trials of various kinds." And so James goes on to say, listen, are you persecuted? Are you struggling? Are you suffering in life? Maybe nothing's working out for you. You know, the business is failing and the family is struggling and the bills are piling up and your future is uncertain and it's just one thing after another. And James says in that moment, pause and find joy in the Lord and with the Lord. Why? Because God is at work. And we trust Him in that moment. To me, this goes against that kind of theology, that kind of teaching of Christianity that says happily ever after, that God intends every moment to be, you know, health and wealth and just the best days of your life. If that was true, then Habakkuk would probably just in that moment, he would just speak a word of faith and he would say, you know, I'll just talk to the fig tree and I'll talk to the fields so that God will bring the prosperity. He would not in faith choose to believe or to accept this suffering. He might claim that faith would give him the power to deliver him over his suffering. Some people teach that today, right? But that's not Habakkuk's faith here. And I don't think that's the faith we see in the Bible. Habakkuk's faith is not some power that he wields. It is a trust in God regardless of his circumstances. Which is why all of these statements here of the worst possible scenario sound like this. They begin with, even though, terrible thing, even though, terrible thing, yet I will rejoice. I will rejoice. How do you respond to the trials of life? You know, some days, nothing goes right. You have days like that? Car won't start. Spilled your coffee on your work pants. Had a fight with your wife, your husband before you left. Smashed your finger in the door. Dropped your phone. Smashed, fell, broke to pieces. Yeah, and on it goes, right? I don't know if you've ever seen the Disney movie called Alexander's Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Bad, whatever, something like that day. It's a really funny movie. It's a funny movie as long as it's somebody else's life, but it's not so funny when it's your life that day, is it? We all have days like that. And that's just little things. I mean, those are just little things I was mentioning. But even on those days, when all the little things are just not going right, I find it hard to rejoice in the Lord, don't you? And then there are Job-like circumstances of real suffering in our lives. And this kind of language seems almost impossible to us. Consider it all joy when you face trials of various kinds. To experience the loss of everything and say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Or even though the Babylonians come and they're going to destroy everything and they're going to kill all the animals and the fields, there's going to be nothing to eat and we're going to fear for our lives, even though that's the case, yet I will rejoice in the Lord and find joy in the God of my salvation. And the world says, how can you possibly say that? And the answer is by faith in the God in whom we trust. That's the only way, isn't it? Life is not like the movies. We can't just tell people, you know what, everything's just going to work out fine in the end. Because sometimes loved ones die. Sometimes the sick and lame are not healed. Sometimes it's not happily ever after. And so the answer is not some feel-good message that, look up, your circumstances are going to change and things are going to be better. But the answer is that through the hardest and most difficult days, that we fall into the arms of a loving Heavenly Father who is good and who cares for us. And we trust Him fully in all of these things, and therefore we can find joy and peace in knowing Him. That means that sometimes we have to fight for joy in our lives. Because again, it doesn't come naturally in circumstances like these when we just want to complain and we want to throw a pity party for ourselves. We want to struggle through these things. We've got to fight for joy sometimes. Sometimes we have to fight to believe the promises of God and the truth of God in all times. We remember promises like Isaiah 26:3. I love the promise of Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you." Talking to the Lord, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. For the Lord your God is an everlasting rock." It's a good promise, isn't it? God would keep us in his peace when our mind is stayed upon him. Faith in God leads us to the peace of God, as we said last week. And the peace and the joy of God is something that is unchanging in all of our circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, the Bible says. Not just on the day of comfort and of prosperity, but even and especially in the day of our trouble. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. That's not easy to do. This is what Habakkuk's faith is teaching him. It is what God is calling us to. Psalm 112 tells us of another great promise of the faith of a righteous man. And it's a faith that we need today. I think about this. This is a great verse to think about in the day and age in which we live in today. And it says, "The righteous man is not afraid of bad news." You ever hear bad news? Maybe it's just bad news out there in the world. You turn on the TV, you pull up your news app on your phone. There's bad news all over the place. Or maybe it's the bad news you receive in your own life. Bad news. The righteous are not afraid of bad news. Why? Because his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. When bad news comes, what are we going to do? Where is our faith? Where is our peace and joy? Is it dependent upon on our peace and our prosperity of our circumstances, or is it dependent upon an unchanging and a trustworthy God? That's where it needs to be. I know many of you like to leave the flatlands of the Panhandle where we live, and you like to go and see the mountains. But I bet, as I think about that migration we have annually around here, I bet those first explorers who were heading west through our country many hundreds of years ago, they probably appreciated the flatness of our country more than we do, because they didn't have roads, they didn't have cars, right? So heading west from here, just imagine them heading west from here, enjoying the flat prairie land and coming up upon the mountains, the Rocky Mountains. And probably in that moment, they didn't think, how glorious. They probably more likely thought, how in the world are we getting over that? Right? You know, sometimes in our lives, we're cruising along and everything's flat and everything's good. And then we come upon the mountains in front of us. And there's no turning back, and the only way forward is to go over the mountain. And in that moment, we wish God would move that mountain from in front of us so we could just keep going on the flat land. It's too difficult. It's too treacherous to climb. We're not sure if we have the strength and the ability to make it. Listen, everybody's going to face mountains like that in their life. And God may not move the mountain, but this is what he will do. This is where Habakkuk finds hope and joy. Verse 19, "God, the Lord, is my strength And he makes my feet like the deer's, and he makes me tread on my high places. Now, have you ever seen videos of mountain goats? Amazing, incredible creatures of God's design. And on the side of the Rocky Mountain, that same mountain that you look at, and that is impassable for humans, impassable for us, they simply hop and jump and skip and walk up the side. I mean, like it's no big deal, right? They are just equipped to do that, and we're not. And so that's the picture that Habakkuk thinks of here. The mountain is before me. I cannot possibly climb over this, not in my strength, not in my ability. But what does he say? The Lord is my strength. And he makes my feet like that of a mountain goat's or a deer's. Why? So that I can cross over this mountain by the grace of God in whom I trust. So you see, God will equip us to endure the path that he has set before us. When we believe that by faith, when we walk by faith and not by sight, when we trust the hand of God, then is where we find that peace and that joy in the Lord that is greater than the worst of our circumstances. You see, God has not changed Habakkuk's circumstances, has he? God has changed Habakkuk. And I pray that God would be changing us too. Changing us to not be afraid of bad news because our hearts are firm, trusting in the Lord. Changing us to rejoice in the Lord and take joy in the God of our salvation in all of our circumstances. To consider it joy when we face trials of various kinds. To rejoice always. To wait upon the Lord and His time. To trust the Lord and His purpose and His plan, even when it's not our own. To trust the heart of God when we can't see His hand. To be changed from fear to peace. From worry to worship. From complaint to joy. Now you have to understand that we have even more reason than Habakkuk to trust the Lord in this today. We know what God has done for us in Christ. We have the gospel. We have the promise of resurrection life today. We have the Holy Spirit with us. These are things that Habakkuk did not have. And so if you belong to God through Christ today, then you have every reason to have the same hope, the same joy as Habakkuk in the midst of your circumstances and walk by faith in the peace of God in all of your circumstances. You bow your heads today. You know, the book of Habakkuk and really all the Bible is calling us to trust the Lord in all of our circumstances, in all of our troubles, in all of our lives. And maybe you've never done that before in your life. Maybe you've never come to Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Would you do that today? Would you trust Him with your life such that you would entrust your soul and your eternity with Him today? Pray that God would save you from your sin, give you eternal life as you trust Him. Or maybe you need Habakkuk's word to encourage you to trust in the Lord in whatever circumstances you find yourself in today, whatever difficult things, and you just need the peace of God to be with you. You need to find that place of joy and worship. And you hear the Bible calling and saying, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith today?" You put your faith and trust in a trustworthy God today. Heavenly Father, I pray in this time of simple time of just response where we hear your word and we want to be those who are not just hearers of it, but to be doers of it. And so we want to walk out of here and we want to carry with us the same kind of faith that Habakkuk had in his life, who could say, even though, yet I will. And Lord, may the yet I will in our lives be that which we trust you, we rejoice in you, we find our hope and peace in you today. So Lord, would you come and breathe that kind of life and faith into the lives of your people today? here, that you would comfort and strengthen us. You would be our strength and our God today. Give us the feet like those of a deer's, that we may be able to tread over the high places that stand before us, that we must cross over. But we don't cross over alone, because you are the God who is with us in all these things, and we want to trust you with them. I pray these things in Jesus' name.